This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story. Chapter 6. To be in a small dinghy in such weather was crazy. The boy knew this instinctively, but at that moment felt nothing but the urge to leave. They vectored right on a tip of land formed from the curving shore that enclosed them in a semi-bay. It was soon evident that the peninsula protected them from the worst of the sea, because, as they rounded the headland, the water became a shifting molasses of mountain and trough. It launched and dropped them with terrifying speed up one side of a wave and down the other. The boy sat at the front, white-knuckling the wooden edges and staring down the abyss, while the man gripped a tiller at the stern, eyes unblinking, gazing ahead as though boating in a duck pond. Plunging down each sickening slope, it seemed as though the bow would cleave the surface and continue to the bottom of the ocean, but then they'd level out and climb back up the other side and repeat the drop to near certain death. They travelled along the coastline, but had to go out to sea and then turn and come back in again in a sawtooth pattern to avoid being caught by a wave side on. If that were to happen, the tiny boat would be swamped and tipped over. The boy checked the strap on his life jacket for the 10th time. It was still secure. He checked it again. Water sloshed under his feet from bow to stern, from port to starboard, carrying with it a mess of flotsam that included greasy trousers, an old rope, an empty fuel can, and a jar of worms. With each plunge and spray, the boat filled and gained weight, the sea crept higher and the craft sank lower. They had just made a perilous turn back to the shore when the man looked behind him from the crest of a wave and cursed the blackening sky. The storm swept towards them like a lumbering monster determined to hunt them down. Slamming the rudder hard, the man made his first sensible decision of the day. The dinghy leaned dangerously to starboard, seemed to pause on the verge of a mountainous void, and then swiveled, just in time for the freefall back the way they came. Amidst the sound of water and wind, the pair remained resolute and silent. They had to get back. They should never have left the cottage in the first place. The shore ahead was rocky, an unbroken line of white surf smashing itself to a fine mist, running from the headland they'd recently rounded and continuing left for the next 3 miles. The storm hit them as they turned to ride the wind into the shelter of the bay. They were 50 meters from the foaming rocks and the same to the tip of the apostrophe marking the edge of safety. They had been running swiftly, the wind blowing on shore, the tiny engine and the rudder carrying them easily towards their escape. When the storm attacked, the wind smacked them in the face, broiled the heaving sea, pushed them away from the calm water that seconds before seemed so close.
"Hang on!"
the man screamed above the gale. Once again, he changed tack, this time pushing as close to the peninsula as he dared, hoping to skim it before the storm forced them onto the rocks. The boy gripped his sides, watching with grim fascination as a bright yellow plastic crocodile, no more than 5 meters to his left, flew through the air in a foaming wave of white death and slid on the backwash to repeat the leap again and again. Slowly, slowly, the jut of land and the little toy eased behind them. Amid the thunder of the surf and the raging wind and rain, the scream of the outboard motor as it clawed the water, their pace against the land was almost serene. At last, as the crocodile broke in two, the pitiful craft entered what had been the relative calm, on a line towards the cottage. This did not, however, mean they were safe. With the changing direction and sudden ferocity of the elements, the shelter of the peninsula was minimal. When they at last saw the cottage, it was shrouded by a shifting veil of rain. Earlier, as they had left the building, the steady torrent slanted diagonally in regimented lines. Now each droplet was a member of a swarm, sweeping down and then curving suddenly upwards and sideways in shifting waves that feigned intelligent life. And then there was the girl. Staggering along the shore, close to the ramp, yelling silently as they struggled towards her. Even the man's voice barely reached them as he screamed himself hoarse.
Inside! Get inside now!
A strong gust pushed them sideways and the boat skewed to port, sliding in dreamlike slow motion on down a black hill. The wind immediately changing so that they were held aloft, it seemed, by opposing forces. And then it died. Just like that. It was only for a couple of seconds. It died or changed direction, the effect was the same. They hurtled forward and down, the bow slapping hard into the trough, the wooden prow submerging like a submarine on a crash dive. As they hit, the boy pitched forward and involuntarily closed his eyes. And as he did that, he suddenly pictured his own back, as though inside the head of the man behind him. A hairy hand reached out and pushed him hard between the shoulders. He saw himself lurch over the bow and into the churning sea. The episode, or vision, had flashed through his mind literally in a blink. It was so fast that he had no time to think about what it was he actually saw. Instead, his natural instinct to survive kicked in and he tried to escape the murdering act. He leant forward as they hit the bottom. The wave washed over them, the boat juddering to a slow crash and everything. The old trousers, the petrol can, the rope, the sloshing bilge and the boy himself catapulted down. The boy turned instinctively and saw the hand. The man's face contorted by exertion, stretching for his back, and all at once he lost his grip and slipped over the transom to be swallowed by the furious sea.
DreamWorks.com.